Welcome to Nobody Cares, a podcast of indefinite proportion. And I guess this time, indefinite direction, too. For today, we are talking about Star Wars fan theories. Now, yet again, we decided to take something almost universally beloved, only to drag it down with our own opinions of what it should be. Now, we composed a list of some of our favorite nitpicks, plot holes, and other mysteries, to try to give us some hope that it wasn't all just bad writing, like when Obi-Wan suddenly doesn't recognize R2-D2 in A New Hope. Now, as always, thank you for poisoning your ears with all this nonsense, and thank you again for forgiving my inability to find a quiet room to record all these. So here you have it, Nobody Cares, Star Wars Fan Theories.
I can't believe people would talk about this.
There's a reason. Fair point.
And here you are.
And yeah, there's a reason why I asked. They want me to be a part of it.
Are dozens and dozens and dozens of Star Wars podcasts.
I believe that.
And all of them, I guarantee, are just awful. And we're only going to do that for one episode. So it's like, we're really not.
Destroying the club.
Yeah, we're not destroying the ozone layer as much as other people. So it's okay.
All right, let's start with Solo.
No, Solo, I hated Solo because, well, number one, they shouldn't have made the movie in the first place. It's just too much Star Wars.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means that they,
it's too
if
much
you're
going to
make
Wars?
A new Star Wars, do something new. Like, Star Wars fans wanted something new, and they're just giving us more of the same and terrible versions of it. Like, Han Solo in Solo, the movie, is not Han Solo. They try to make him out to be this, like, good guy. Like, oh, he's a good guy all along. And somehow, like, they just try to do too much. Like, how likely is it that he, oh yeah, he just found all the hyperspace fuel to start the Rebellion fleet. Oh, how convenient that Han Solo did that. And is also interacting with Darth Maul. Like,
yeah,
it's just,
like, they're trying too hard to, like, make it all come together.
Yeah. And the whole point of Han Solo in episode, I don't know, whatever A New Hope is.
Four. That's a good start.
Yeah, whatever. The whole point of Han Solo in episode 4 is that he's a terrible person. And that his turning point in his character arc is that he comes back and saves everyone.
Right.
And like he decides it's not about the money.
But you kind of got to believe that he's shitty up until that point, and kind of even until he comes on screen the first time, that he's already kind of all for himself and doesn't give shit. And that's the only reason it works, right? That's the only reason we're all surprised to see him the first time you see that movie.
Yeah, and everyone knows Han Solo as Harrison Ford, and you picture Harrison Ford when you think Han Solo.
Of course.
The best part about that movie was Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
He did a great job as Lando.
Is it weird seeing, like, real actors who have already been in other things now be in Star Wars? Does it take a little bit away, like, seeing Woody Harrelson suddenly as a fucking Star Wars dude?
It also doesn't feel like Star Wars there because Star Wars is kind of lesser-known actors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was kind of weird seeing Woody Harrelson in Harrelson?
Can I add?
Go ahead.
One thing to Solo. So I actually, John's perspective actually, I think is solid, and it actually made me like the movie less because I came into enjoying Solo and was like, it's fine, it's good.
Until he met me,
and then John shat on it.
Basically, yeah. And
dropped some space bombs.
Basically, like, it's still a fun movie, but it really wrecks a lot of the character creation of the original movies. And as maybe, it gets back to, I mean, when fans were up all over the whole, did, like, Solo shoot first or not? Right? Did Han shoot first in that family?
Yeah, he did.
And the point is that he did.
Because he's a bad guy.
But so people are already upset with that small change.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about the whole movie, is now taking that to, like, the nth degree of, like, oh no, he's been a good guy the whole time. Which kind of wrecks the whole
It's
character.
Softening him.
It makes it more friendly for kids or something, but it kind of wrecks the actual
for
character.
Adults
who
know that the world is just dark and there's just scumbags out there.
Yeah, like his girlfriend's like, oh, you're a good guy all along, I can tell. Like, no, that's not Han Solo.
Yeah.
And
so
then,
I wonder,
go ahead.
With Solo here, with the you know, with the day and age that the movie comes out, you know, like recent, as we're getting into more like, you know, away from misogyny and like the Me Too movement and stuff like this, like, was there a softening of Solo because him in the original trilogy?
Because he's a scoundrel.
Yeah, like, is that still palatable to the general public?
I think it could be. I don't think it's a sexism thing. I think it's just Disney's trying to, like, Disney-fy everything.
Like, make a hero out of him? Like, before he was a hero?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's good deep down all along.
Yeah.
Or even, you could see what?
Like, everyone likes a happy ending. No one wants to see him shoot, I don't know, the whoever the girl is, or blow her off, or
Khaleesi.
Or, like, yeah, kill all the orphans and steal their money. But no one wants to see that.
They kind of make it sound at the end like that he's just pissed off and maybe does what he does because he gets hurt and wounded by this girl, right? Because he's, like, trying to be, like, a half-decent dude, and then she just ends up, like, turning her back on him and just leaving him, even when she kind of promised she'd be around and be with him, and then she just up and leaves. And so, what, I guess we're led to think that suddenly he's just, you know, damaged. He's had his heart broken, and now he's just a scoundrel who can never love again until he meets Princess Leia.
That does seem to be the plot that they wanted to create.
I don't like it.
Rebel without a cause.
Yeah.
As someone who didn't even like Han Solo and did not watch Solo, I feel like it doesn't make sense to have him seem like a nice guy.
From the very beginning, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
With his character.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you had seen Solo before even episode 4, right?
Then I would have been even more mad at him. Because I'm like, why are you suddenly all like a douchebag?
Mm-hmm.
You were nice before. What's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the only Solo fan theory that we had was that suddenly in Solo he's like 4 inches shorter.
No.
Because the actor's 4 inches shorter in real life than Harrison Ford was.
Yeah, there's your answer. Fan theory closed.
So naturally, I mean, he's younger, so it's not just growth. It's because he was living on that little backwater world of Corellia. I mean, not really backwater, but living in the slums. Not the best nutrition either. Suddenly, he goes through this adventure of Solo. Now he's out in space. Now he's doing things with Chewbacca. You know, space does things to a man. It, like,
what?
It's,
what
no,
does space
when,
do to a man's
It stretches out their spine.
Yeah, you're going to pull a muscle with all that reaching for this thing.
You know?
What did John say about trying too hard?
Yeah.
I didn't come up with this. I'm just enjoying it. And we're just talking about it. We're giving a
credence. If you look at the size of the planet, you'll see the gravitational pull. And
I'm just saying, you know, when you're in space, this happened to like Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, all the real space people who supposedly went to the moon.
They got
power? Supposedly. Yeah, their spine stretches out. Their spine stretches out in zero gravity, so you actually become taller versions. It's possible.
Well, and as we all know,
you get better nutrition when you're not, you know, living in the slums, and suddenly you have money, you can go buy your own fancy meals and, you know, eat vegan and all that shit.
Well,
suddenly,
there's gravity in space, though. We saw it in Star Wars Episode 8.
That's not canon.
With the bombs.
There's gravity in the beginning of that.
That's another fan theory. If we really cared enough about The Last Jedi to really dissect all the plot holes.
No one cares about
plot holes. Yeah, no.
But we're moving right along. Okay. Are we ready for episode 1-3 mode? Because that's where we're going if we do this.
I don't remember what these people look like. Like, I don't know their names to their faces.
Christopher Lee?
I don't know who that is either.
Saruman?
This Count Dooku.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The guy with the, like, the lightsaber that
curved,
where the hilt is curved.
Good talking.
He was the Emperor's... No, he was the Emperor's apprentice.
Yeah.
Mm.
But anyway, so we get to episode 2, right? And there's already, you know, Sidious has already kind of put his plan into place, right? And he's already the Chancellor, I guess. Meanwhile, there's all these separatists out there, and you meet Count Dooku, who was, they say, like, once a Jedi, but fell to the dark side.
Yeah.
And then he's dealing with all these separatists, right? And they're starting to fight against the Emperor. And then there's the whole clone army thing, too, which has been kept a secret. And you kind of get maybe the feeling that this is kind of Sidious's plan to kind of throw the Empire or the Republic into civil war so that he has a reason to bring out this army and take more powers. We kind of all feel like that's kind of what's been happening. it was all very intentional. Like the whole separatist thing was all very intentional, right? Yeah, by the Emperor.
Sidious was orchestrating it.
Right. To have both sides, like to create a conflict, right? So he can take
like
more power.
Playing both sides, right?
Yes, 100%.
Senator Palpatine on the Republic and then straight up Darth Sidious to the separatists.
Right. And so at some point, you know, Count Dooku was a Jedi and fell to the dark side. And then he has this big moment with Obi-Wan where he kind of lets him in on the plan, saying, yeah, the Chancellor, I guess, at that point, is really a Sith Lord.
Let's just remember. So he knows, Dooku knows.
Yeah.
So it's true nature.
But he tells Obi-Wan, right?
Obi-Wan, what, just doesn't believe it?
Right. So Count Dooku, like, understands what's going on, is maybe doing a little double agent thing where he has seen the Jedi Order. He's seen how kind of corrupt and kind of useless it is because they're allowing a Sith to kind of start manipulating things, even though there's tons of Jedi and none of them apparently are seeing the little breadcrumbs that have been led in the direction that it's going. And so he maybe at his heart still wants, you know, some kind of Jedi rule, Count Dooku, that is. And so he's kind of playing both sides, or at least trying to do what he thinks is right, kind of being kind of a rebel where he's not really doing what the Jedi want, but then also at some point not doing what Emperor Palpatine wants either. The Jedi Order is really kind of shitty how it is right now, but there's something even darker. So why don't, if I let you know this, you go use your influence still in the Jedi Council, you go do something about that.
When does he tell Obi-Wan this? Isn't this when he's like trying to kill Obi-Wan though?
Well, they have him captured and he could have killed him, but they don't. I mean, eventually when they capture Anakin and Padme, they do the whole arena thing, right? But that's after they've had that conversation and Obi-Wan says, no, fuck you.
And so Obi-Wan just doesn't believe him.
Right. He doesn't. He's in denial and or maybe just ignorance because he's still so indoctrinated by the Jedi way.
Maybe Dooku was kind of more in the middle. I mean, that's what people were hoping after a new episode. The episode 8 would do. It kind of created this whole like gray side of the Force.
Yes, and that's another important point, which reminds me of, so Count Dooku, when he was a Jedi, like his master was Qui-Gon Jinn, or was it the other way around? No, Qui-Gon Jinn was Count Dooku's Padawan. So he trained Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah,
Qui-Gon Jinn is kind of a known, like, kind of rebel within the Jedi Order, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of a little bit more extreme. He wants to train Anakin anyway. I think I read somewhere that he was one of the first people to use, like, do the whole Force Ghost thing, which is kind of a not really, wasn't really endorsed by Jedi people at the time until he started doing it, because it kind of involved a little bit more edgy things. Anyway, the idea is there that Count Dooku and Qui-Gon Jinn were both kind of a little bit more, hey, we're more with the Jedi than with the Sith, but we're really not into that whole organized religion thing. We're a little bit more spiritual rather than religious.
I was hoping someone would bring that analogy in there.
So that's maybe why Count Dooku would also go to Obi-Wan. He knows Obi-Wan's been trained by Qui-Gon, maybe has a little bit of that in him. And so maybe you can then say, we would rather have the Jedi than the Sith, but we also need to stop the Sith. So I'm going to take this whole separatist army. We're still going to attack Coruscant like they do, I think, in the third movie, the beginning of the third movie, right? They're like bombing and attacking Coruscant.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Obi-Wan and Anakin come in and kill Count Dooku, right? And he's all like, sorry, at the very end. We don't really remember that movie too much, apparently.
Yeah, is he sorry?
Well, he looks all like sad. And
he's about to die.
Well, that too, but
he seems pretty distraught.
But if he was actually kind of a double agent, he's more like sad for the situation. Like, the Sith are in power, the Jedi don't really know it or haven't really realized it yet.
They're fighting on the wrong team.
Yes, and yet they don't want to do anything about it. So he's foreseeing, he's like, this is going to end poorly because it's going to be Empire rule.
I mean, do we really think Dooku's heart is like that big? You know, or I don't know.
I think at the least, he's the most woke of any of those characters, because he knows what's really going on.
Outside of Chewbacca.
Dogs can't be woke.
So the wokey.
Thank you for that.
That's the last you'll hear from me tonight.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. We're not really sold on that one, but I'll keep believing.
Okay, so I'm trying to think of, like, what would be the reason for him, Dooku, to do what he's doing. other than out of like the kindness of his heart or like trying to like benefit, you know, everything? What if it was all just like a long con for his own ascension?
Yeah, what if he tried to pursue Sidious when he got the chance?
So it's like, hey, if I can turn both sides against each other, essentially start the war, they'll both be severely weakened by this. And if I can kind of not be on either side, but close enough where, you know, it's like I'm what, like Darth Sidious is his master, right?
We're kind of led to believe that, right?
That's some Game of Thrones shit right there.
Yeah. I'm playing the long con, the like 3-episode long con. But, so it's like, okay, so like the Sith are probably not going to try to kill him off because they're like, okay, he's essentially like one of us. Mm-hmm. But then he's extending the olive branch to Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Obi-Wan buys into it, he's probably going to tell the Jedi Council, like, hey, we shouldn't kill Count Dooku here. So maybe he's trying to kind of leverage his position.
Or he's trying to turn Obi-Wan.
To what? To the dark side?
Yeah.
Or maybe so to, like, his own evil. Side.
It's...
So then he's, like, even more evil than we considered? Is that what you're
well,
saying?
Well, this is where I think, depending on how you view, like, evil, like, if he's trying to just rule the galaxy, is that evil?
Is it?
Probably depending on what he wants to do with it.
At the expense of others.
But whenever there's anyone in power, if you're trying to take over, it's going to be at the expense of someone else.
Yeah, how do you know the Jedi aren't like just wanting kind of their own rule? Because they build their ways better than everybody else.
I mean, that gets back to like episode 2 or Earth 3, I guess, with Anakin. And
we don't want to go there.
But then maybe Luke should have just joined his father and ruled the galaxy together. And
his father and
then, you know?
But then there wouldn't be balance.
Hmm. Anyway, but I mean, so Count Dooku is really not on screen enough for us to really know everything.
I agree.
And he dies. Okay, so the verdict is in, and Count Dooku was still a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, like his motive may have been multifaceted. I think that's interesting, but I don't see the savior in disguise that you're putting out there.
Seems very like self-serving.
Why did Anakin not recruit the younglings? Or is it just bad writing?
Well, if you're sticking with the theory of the Sith, which I looked it up while we were talking. Darth Bane was the one who started the Rule of Two.
When was he?
Like, when was he? He was like thousands of years before the first episode one. Before episode one. Because there was the whole like battle between the Sith and the Jedi. The Jedi won, and Darth Bane was the only survivor, and he like started anyway. But it would be to preserve the Sith rule of two.
Okay,
I would say why Anakin didn't try to recruit the younglings. Well, also, who's going to take care of them?
What, Sidious doesn't smite the father?
They're trying to stage a coup d'état. They can't start a daycare at the same time.
So, but this is something else, though. So the Sith clearly don't care about making more Sith other than just one. Like, the Jedi have this whole little academy and recruitment program going on because apparently they want more people. Like, the Sith, what, they only care about one and two of them, and then everybody else is just lesser than?
Well, also, like, the Sith were... That was their great comeback. Like, they were... Everyone thought that they were done. Like, they were extinct. So this is them, like... They don't have time to take on a bunch of chillins. It's easier just to kill them.
Yeah, move forward.
I mean, frankly, I would do the same thing.
I don't know a lot about you. Aren't you watching Dad soon?
Yes, I am. Don't show this to my wife.
Younglings are just a waste of time. I just kill them, really.
It's only the rule of two. There's already two of you in that family.
Well, listen, I'm not trying to overthrow a galactic empire here.
Okay.
Well, this is kind of great because you are having twins.
That's the rule of two.
Oh.
There it is. They can both be evil. I'm talking about your kids.
It's okay. I was talking about...
You've said worse. About them.
Was Luke the only person to outwit the Emperor?
I like that one.
Jedi ever?
So one thing we know is that the Emperor was really strong, right? He kills Mace Windu. He at least in that fight, is better than Anakin.
He gets help with killing Mace Windu, though.
Okay, well, there's... Okay, so let me rephrase that. Okay. So, Darth Sidious is more powerful than all of them. However, he's not really a fighter. He's a manipulator, kind of the whole, like, Sidious thing.
He is so strong in the Force that his Force power or his Force... His ability in the Force is definitely stronger than his lightsaber skills.
Yeah.
Which someone like Mace Windu, he's a better duelist, I would say. But I think that he let that happen with, like, he let himself get in that situation with Mace Windu.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the turning point for Anakin.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, he's definitely not a fighter. Cause, I mean, he does use the Force lightning, but his power is coming from, like, being manipulative and, like, pulling all the... What?
You're like, he's not a fighter, and I thought, well, he's really not a lover either. Not a lover or a fighter.
Well.
I'd say he's not a physical fighter.
Yeah.
Not so much a physical fighter.
Go ahead. Counterpoint, if that's... When he fights Yoda, who arguably is the strongest Jedi, both as a fighter and as an influence and all these things.
Lover.
Yeah, as
long as that. Right. Yoda is a lover.
Definitely.
That's a very strong lover.
Yeah. Sidious, that's the one time he busts out his lightsaber.
Yeah,
and
that is true.
Like, the fight is pretty epic, and you can see Yoda is strained, and it's kind of even, and Yoda kind of ultimately kind of loses. Not conclusively, but... So, I would say with like Mace Windu and these other things, clearly he is just playing with him for the sake of turning Anakin.
Totally.
Well, and like in Jedi and Sith, they tend to lean more towards one. Like, one may be a stronger duelist, one may be stronger in the Force. And Palpatine, Darth Sidious, he's so strong in the Force that, yes, he's better at using his Force powers than his duelist, but he's still a really good duelist. I mean, and in that fight with Yoda, it was... I mean, he started throwing the whole Senate chamber at him. Like, that's like the Force power.
Well, it seemed like when your Force power is that good, your dueling is kind of backup because you can do more harm with your Force, it seemed like, too, right? So it's almost just like this is his most powerful weapon. It doesn't matter the category.
So first things first, is Yoda the most powerful Jedi?
No.
Who is?
Luke.
Okay, fair enough.
I meant on the council. Like at that time.
But
pre-Luke,
it's Yoda, right?
Yeah, Yoda, yeah.
We're in agreement then.
Well, Yoda, as far as like his skillfulness in the Force, a lot of people think Obi-Wan is the best duelist.
Okay.
But,
however, none of them could match the Emperor.
No.
Because at the end of Episode 3, they run off and hide, which is a whole other thing.
Right.
Because their hope is... getting somebody else to go do the fighting for them, which ends up being Luke, right? So clearly they are not as strong as the Emperor.
Right, even their prime.
Yes. And then even Anakin, who was maybe even stronger than Obi-Wan, well, definitely stronger than Obi-Wan, but could be on power with Yoda as well. Like, the Emperor has just corrupted him, right, by kind of using the dogma of the Jedi kind of against him and kind of really warping his mind. Right? Because Anakin is kind of just broken and confused by the end of Episode 3 and then kind of destroys himself.
Just very unstable.
Super unstable.
I think Anakin had the most potential, but Luke, in the end, ends up being the strongest Jedi. I mean, Anakin, as Darth Vader, who had half a body, still wiped out all the Jedi single-handedly.
Yes.
Right.
So, fast forwarding Episode 6, right? Luke has become pretty powerful in his own right. He goes to confront the Emperor because it's kind of his duty. It's kind of what Yoda and Obi-Wan have kind of told him is the right way to do it. However, the Emperor tries to manipulate him by saying, hey, just give in. You're not going to win anyway. Your father's already done for and all that. And he even encourages him, like, just strike me down right now, right?
That wouldn't have turned him back to the light side. Darth Vader.
Wouldn't have turned... Okay. So that would not have turned Darth Vader back to the light side. Would that have turned Luke to the dark side?
Absolutely. And that's also why he didn't do it.
So what, is this like a Batman and Joker kind of thing? Dark Knight thing?
Palpatine is an expert at turning people to the dark side. And he knows that if he can goad Luke into killing him or trying to kill him, it would be he would be consumed by hate.
Okay, it would be that his anger is taken over.
Yeah, and that's his that's his push over the edge, which which he did. He ended up he did end up taking the lightsaber and trying to
attack Vader.
Yeah, attack Vader, and then but he kind of recovered himself. Like at first, he did give in to his anger a little bit, and then Palpatine was trying to really push him, like make the final, put the nail in the coffin by having him kill Darth Vader and take his place as his apprentice, and that that would have done it.
So Luke is kind of in a no-win situation, right? Because he can't really, if he kills the Emperor,
he did win.
But in the moment, he's like, he can't kill the Emperor, right? Because that is just, it doesn't turn his father back, right? It doesn't.
And more importantly, it would he would be turned to the dark side. He would give in to his hate and anger.
And if he kills Darth Vader, he becomes, it's kind of the same thing, and he kind of becomes a new apprentice, right? Oh, so then what is his out?
To stay true.
Not fighting. I mean, he kind of stops fighting, right? It's not what happens.
But it's kind of, he does something weird, and I don't know if that's necessarily staying true, but he's like, just kill me then. And so
he sacrifices himself.
Well, yeah, and then so he kind of plays on Darth Vader's emotions then, right? The whole father-son thing, so.
Well, but in a sincere way, I don't think it's like,
let me manipulate
my dad back.
That was his last chance. That was his last ditch effort to bring
his
dad back.
He's in otherwise a no-win situation, so then his only recourse is to be like, well, I'd rather do any of this than fall to the dark side.
I don't like that you're saying he was in a no-win situation, because he did.
Clearly
wasn't a no-win.
Kobayashi Maru did.
But, I mean,
we're going cross-content right now.
Expect his dad. I mean, in some ways he did, and he was like, you know, father, please, and like hoping that his dad would change.
That's safe.
Well,
he knew.
He really wrote it to the end there. Really,
right.
Please, dad, come on.
No, that's the whole point. No, that's the whole point
here,
about
dad.
Luke Skywalker, is that he knew that his that there was light, there was good still in his father, and he knew he had so much faith that he was willing to die for it. But he knew that he did not have a doubt that that there was good in his father, which is why episode 8 is so stupid that he just turns into this recluse hermit and gives up hope.
Because he's the most hopeful character in the entire...
But part of me does feel like, even though like he was a beacon of hope all throughout, I mean, like, in some ways it also still humanizes him, because even when we have hope in our lives, we can have hope through hard times, but even we even have weak moments, so in some ways it makes him more relatable as a character, even though... I also, looking back now, I'm like, come on, man. Like, get it together. But it does. It kind of humanizes him in a way.
Yes.
So he's not this perfect hero.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that. It just is not fitting with his character, because if you, like...
It seemed like over the top.
But is it fitting with his character? Because he, I mean, like, he had moments where he struggled too. Sort of.
Absolutely.
And then, like... Part of me is also like, okay, so being the son of Anakin, he also had this, like, deep internal struggle. So, in some ways, it's in his blood, you know? to kind of have that little internal struggle.
But the reason why he gave up is because
Kylo Ren,
Ben Solo, turned to the dark side. And you would think that it was like, okay, I got experience with this. Like, I know how to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
You're good.
Right.
And, I don't know, I just...
Maybe he was tired.
Maybe he was tired.
He'd done it all before,
it's just
and now
bad writing.
Maybe it's just bad writing. Maybe all this again.
Just bad writing.
Maybe the Jedi Order is... Maybe the Jedi teachings are just not all they're cracked up to be. And so he tries, he restores order, and then he sets up his whole Jedi thing, like reinitiating the old ways.
Right.
And then those ways fail. Right, which is kind of the point of episode 8.
It's like his theology fails.
Yes, he goes back to the dogma. The dogma realized, well, it failed the first time when Palpatine rose to power. It's failing again now because clearly nobody I'm training is working out. And so, therefore, he's kind of shit out of luck and kind of has to go reevaluate his life.
This is why the new trilogy is just so stupid, because Luke didn't know any of the old ways before. He was so... adept in the Force naturally, that Yoda taught him for like 10 minutes, but like they didn't know all of the old ways, and like he there was so much potential. He could start a new Jedi Order that is more like moderate, more in the middle.
But
no, let's just remake.
But didn't he kind of succeeded in episodes 5 and 6 because he kind of went his own way. Like, they told him, don't go save your friends in Cloud City. It ended up working out for him that he kind of followed. He's like, no, I need some friends in this world. And so he kind of goes his own way.
He had a fresh take on the Jedi ways, and it was working out.
Right, so it was weird then to go back.
Yeah, it was bad writing to go back.
Right, because then it's like he goes back to the old traditions, then loses faith in them, which somehow shakes him at a fundamental level, and yet his character earlier in life seemed to have already moved on from that.
He never knew,
yeah.
I mean, he would have had to go uncover the old ways or something, right? He's the only one.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is
the only person
to about someone like older in life, kind of second-guessing some things they're more sure of as like a younger person, and so then maybe like being more human or susceptible to doubt when he was this hopeful, optimistic person. There's also, then you see the cyclical nature of the Star Wars universe, where Yoda had this cycle, then Obi-Wan had this cycle, and now Luke has this cycle. On the other hand, Luke kind of seemed to be like special in all these things, and it seemed like he went the deepest end. It could have been handled a little differently, maybe, that would have been more plausible than this.
Was he the most powerful because he didn't get indoctrinated as a child? He didn't grow up in the church, so to speak. He came to the faith and later in life. And whereas he started like raising kids up in the faith, like from the next generation, and then they're like, just like, no, they become rebellious teenagers, and you're like, no, fuck that, and they go their own way.
Like he was raised out of the church. He kind of then had this authentic experience.
He's like, I want them to go to Christian school,
but then he just tried to bring it back, and then that like failed him.
And then, yeah,
he didn't have a Christian education. I want them to have a Christian education.
Right, and you know, maybe he means well, but it's just poorly executed, or it doesn't. It's not the same path, because that's not the path that he took to join the Jedi Order. I think that may be what they're going for, because this whole thing is kind of a critique of religion.
Yes,
I think that's what they're going for with Rey.
Is that it doesn't matter? You just kind of got to find a middle ground.
Yeah.
Why did Kylo go to the dark side? I don't know.
It was all a misunderstanding.
I mean, but there's something there before Luke, like, thought about killing him, which obviously tripped him over the deep end. There were issues, and, like, why were there issues to begin with?
Well, it was his natural struggle with the dark side.
Okay, because he's a descendant of...
Because, his grandfather was Darth Vader, and it was just his natural struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what really put him over the edge was Luke coming into his tent at night. Oh, that's the end.
I just leave it there.
All right.
That
wraps up the podcast.
You know what I mean.
You really thought
he was going in there to kill him, but he really wasn't. Like, there was
some
sad story.
It's a critique of religion yet again.
It was a critique of religion.
Not like the Catholics are again, I think.
Force back the mountain.
Force. Oh, boy.
Turn me to the dark side, too. Okay. Back to kind of the matter at hand, which is, like, does that mean, like, should we hate on Yoda and Obi-Wan and then later Luke for going... Well, you kind of touched on Luke already. Should we hate on Yoda and Obi-Wan?
Yobi-Wan?
For just, like, giving up and going into hiding?
What else were they going to
do? Do they not even give a shit at all their ways? Like, just got...
Wait.
Like, everything's done.
They lost.
Okay. You're still alive, though. So what if you're 700 years? Like, you tell me you can't, like, inspire one other person to go help you fight? I'm just going to go hang out with the animals.
There were other people.
I'm in the swamp now.
There were a lot of Jedi that were around.
Tried that.
They all
got
killed by Darth Vader.
Yeah, I actually think the situation with Obi-Wan Yoda was totally different than with Luke.
Well,
and
first
Obi-Wan
off,
was protecting
are they giving up?
No, Obi-Wan was protecting Luke. He didn't go into exile. He was there on Tatooine to guard Luke.
Okay, because they feel like they have no other option.
Because there was no other option, and Anakin was going around just fucking shit up, killing everybody. Their only hope was a Skywalker, The only hope for someone stronger than him. I don't know why Yoda.
So
I mean, Yoda was just old.
They're throwing all their eggs into this one basket.
They had to.
Luke and Leia.
There's nobody else in the galaxy left.
There were. They all got killed by Darth Vader.
That's.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that tried all got killed.
The galaxy is so big.
No, it's. I mean, so all the ones that tried resisting all died. So.
Okay. Yeah. Why couldn't. But Yoda couldn't have done that too?
He
couldn't have gone down to the ship?
Yoda died of old age 18 years later. He was already old.
Mm-hmm. So what was his point? Just to stick around long enough to help...
To train Luke.
To train Luke. That was it.
Yes.
Should we hate on him for that?
No. That was their last course of action. Like, Obi-Wan protected them, him, Luke,
mm-hmm.
and then Yoda was there to train him.
So it seems to me that the three kind of went into exile due to, like, not sure, like, they're not sure who they can trust.
Mm.
Kind of seems like the issue for all three.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Yoda and Obi-Wan, since, like, Jedi are being killed left and right, was it, like, the clone troops started turning on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
They fired at Obi-Wan. And so, that's why they go, to protect Luke. But then Luke, going into exile in episode 8, like, seems like he just doesn't trust himself to train anyone else since training Kylo Ren or went so bad. He's like, I'm just going to go away from everything. I'm clearly not the answer anymore.
Mm.
Maybe I was back in episode 6.
Yeah.
It's another good example of sometimes, you know, like the best players don't turn into be good coaches. Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Great player, not a good coach. It's like,
you're onto
Luke,
something.
Stunk into coaching. So what Kate's showing me right now, I'll just read this to everyone.
Is that Myers-Briggs?
It's Rokia Myers-Briggs. Star Wars
this,
character.
It's the real reason we wanted you in here for this.
According to the Myers-Briggs typology test, Luke Skywalker is an INFP. And one of the weaknesses of an INFP is that they have the tendency to blame themselves for problems and hold everything on their own shoulders. So perhaps what you were saying of, you know, he was looking at, oh, I caused this bad thing. So maybe that is why.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, that's great is the second one is that INFPs don't like to have their space invaded. Unlike everyone else. I'm prime for an invasion.
Oh, don't say that.
Luke's gonna visit your tent tonight.
Oh,
yeah. I'll get my saber ready.
Oh my gosh.
I get it.
I don't know what Enneagram types the Star Wars characters are.
Oh, do you want me to tell you? I have them all right here.
What's that?
Hit us.
All right, so my personal favorite, the ENTJ, because that's what I am.
Myers-Briggs.
Oh, I'm sorry. You asked Enneagram.
I did, but
I apologize. I have the Myers-Briggs. I'm sure someone has given Enneagram types too, though. So we can probably get it.
Myers-Briggs. Okay.
Leia is the ENTJ. They even have for R2-D2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's me.
How can R2-D2 have a personality type?
Look at him.
It's programmed.
Of course he does.
It's programmed.
All right, Senator Palpatine, INTJ. So.
Yeah, so you're close to
yeah.
Senator Palpatine, kind of like some other people.
I just like
we know.
People more. Yeah. Obi-Wan Kenobi's an INFJ. Let's see. I don't know. Who do you want to know?
John, what personality type are you? Do you know?
INTP.
What's
INTP? INTP. Yoda.
Yeah.
Yoda.
Nice.
So.
Ran away like a pussy.
Robbie is an ISFP.
That's me too, actually.
Senator.
Oh, that's right.
Organa.
What?
How do you know? How do we know enough about him to be able to classify him?
That's
some.
That's
an
artist.
Quiet, serious, sensitive, and kind.
Get the fuck out of here. What?
Quiet, serious, sensitive, and kind.
Right after you said, get the fuck out of here. So sensitive and kind.
You don't even know. Bail Organa, like, who the fuck cares? He's just, like, there for, like.
Are you sure you're an ISFP?
I
don't know.
You're being very ENTJ right now, actually.
I will just on principle because I don't even fucking Bail Organa. Okay.
I feel like the Star Wars pod just turned into, like, therapy.
You said you wanted me here.
Well, but that's what's great about Star Wars.
You know, we take tangents.
It's
rabbit trails.
It's just a problem with tangents more than half the pod.
You know?
That
differentiates us from the other Star Wars pods.
What I really appreciate about Star Wars is that, especially watching it in chronological order, like from episode one forward, I really got to see how the characters kind of battled with, you know, the dark side, the light side, and everywhere in between, and it became so stressful, and, you know, part of the reason why I think I like it so much is because I'm like, ah, I can so relate. That's my everyday. It's that emotional every day, you know, like, it's, yeah.
Our
it
struggle
is so,
with our light and dark sides.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like,
exactly.
My boss is like Vader. I'm gonna try not to kill him today.
Yeah, just like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting, though.
I like the Anakin being too old. Why is Anakin considered too old to be in Jedi training?
Yeah, that's cool.
This one's relatively straightforward. It's because...
Bad writing.
Kind of.
Well, that was the policy they had, right? But why did they have that policy, a Jedi?
Partially because organized religion likes to indoctrinate kids young, and so that they are less likely to deviate from it. Because you have a very strict society where these are the rules. And if they're already a little older and can already kind of think for themselves and maybe have already seen another way of life outside of that, they're less likely to keep along with it. And so it's actually kind of manipulative, right? Because you have all these tiny little kids who don't know better. And they're trained by, you know, these nice older people who just give them lightsabers, sure. But are also, you know, telling them all these ways that are right, that you can't have a family, you can't do other things, you must serve and protect society. And do the kids even have a choice that they are joining this? No. Their parents give them up to it, right?
Sure.
So
almost like the Spartan program.
Kind of.
Or, which then the analogy not only is organized religion, but is like terrorist groups, extremist groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because here, you
What's
know.
What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's a great question.
Well, it's anything that involves like conformity to a way of life that is not just a take it or leave it. It's a we need you to believe this in order to be successful. And so it can go to manipulative ends.
Like this is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to make that choice for you.
Yeah. And so because Qui-Gon, who was kind of halfway there, halfway not Jedi, is like, no, I think we're going to do it anyway, and trains him. And then maybe it's kind of a logical progression that Anakin's like, he's already seen the rest of his life. He's already had other experiences outside of this that make him, you know, want friends and family outside of the church.
Well, he wants a romantic interest, right? Which is
one
of the big...
He's already got a little taste.
Yeah, he's got a little thing for...
And he's got mommy issues too, right? Which is totally understandable. But because he has all this kind of baggage going into it, I think it's kind of logical and natural that he would fight against it. He would kind of hate on the rules because he knows that there is something else out there for him, which is either like romance and or knowing your family, being around your family.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. They never even just send him on a mission to rescue his mom and all this, you know, until basically he has to go on his own. It's too late.
Yeah, or just leave her as a slave on this backwater world.
Right.
Even if you don't know
with
that you've been captured
power.
By sand people, it's still just, we're going to leave her in slavery.
Right, with all the power the Jedi have.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. So with that in mind, that's why it kind of makes, like, again, Count Dooku is right.
Right, about?
I mean, that the Jedi are kind of, like, really manipulative and kind of subtly evil in their own way.
So is that what makes Dooku a good guy, even if he's self-seeking?
I mean, I'm not saying he's...
But
we can take a step back from the is he a good guy, but is he he's maybe a faulty reformer, something like that.
Okay.
Maybe it's just like just trying to like shine light on everything. It's just like he's got the machine gun out just spraying all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really care what this hits. There's all this stuff needs to change.
Yeah.
He's
like not really focused on any person or something. He's just like, the whole system just sucks.
Okay, we'll do the last one. This is my favorite dumb one.
Bad writing.
That's the answer.
Probably. But
C-3PO.
Okay, Return of the Jedi on Endor.
Ugh.
The Ewoks were able to give Leia a dress because they had previously eaten another woman of her size.
Possibly.
Right, something. Wait.
Barbecue.
There's more. So here's the justification for it. I'm reading this right off of Reddit, so I'll give them credit. So some facts: Ewoks eat people. It's pretty accepted. Like they were going to eat them in Return of the Jedi, right?
True.
Number two, when Leia was allowed to live among them, like they give her a dress that looks like it blends in, so it looks like some kind of like local shit. Now, did Leia pack that with her? Probably not, because it's like a military mission. Would she pack like a little cocktail dress, whatever the fuck?
I mean, she's packed some weird things. I feel like
that's true, but
this isn't like
this is like a life or death, like the most crucial mission, and you're bringing your little party dress on the side.
I don't know. Have you ever gone traveling with a woman? We bring some weird stuff. No,
is the answer to that. So maybe that erases everything.
I'm kidding.
I mean,
bring a cocktail dress on that trip either.
I mean,
so.
You know,
you'll end up in a forest this time.
Yeah, like they probably didn't make it when they were on Endor. They had other priorities. Did the Ewoks make it for her? Like, no, they dressed in rags, like fucking like a little like cloth put together. They couldn't have like had the.
They don't have the
artisanship
for it.
To be
yeah.
able to, no.
I don't think they have opposable funds.
Yeah, no. And so that leaves, there's only one thing that could have happened. At some point, some other woman of apparently the same size crashed on Endor or something like that, had a dress with her. The Ewoks found her, murdered her, ate her, kept all of her belongings, and then gave the dress to Leia later when they found it fit her and it would make a nice gift.
You know, that doesn't sound so absurd.
Thank you. That's why
I'm
it's
sure
my favorite one.
I'm sure that's what George had in mind all along.
That's so much better than just bad writing.
Okay, but like, let's be honest. Out of all the things we've talked about, I'm pretty certain that all of it is just because of bad writing.
We're suspending our disbelief right now.
Okay, so is it okay if bring up one more? Is that okay? With
I mean, so we're all agreeing that that's clearly what happened here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think any other theory takes more assumptions to be made, so I'll endorse this one.
Good. We're all in agreement.
So, is C-3PO really a mastermind moving his pawns around?
No.
I mean, that's a long one. There's a lot of evidence. It's basically saying that he's not really dumb and going along with the ride. He's like subtly like manipulating events or like manipulating, like intentionally making Han Solo angry so that he does acts in a certain way.
Oh.
To accomplish what or what?
To kind of keep them on mission and or to get certain things to happen.
Okay.
What mission? Who's?
Again, I should have read this whole one I thought we were actually going to go on this one.
No, how could this really be a theory? Like, what?
Yeah, no, I think it's kind
of. No, this is silly. I'm sorry.
I'll leave that for further reading.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no.
We can just do a full pod just on this one.
I'm sure.
On
the we can do
most
a real deep dive.
The series' most annoying character outside of Jar Jar Binks.
Or Chewbacca.
That's about right.
Yeah. Pass. No, thank you.
Okay.
Those are three characters I live now.
All right. Well, I think that's probably going to end this edition of Star Wars Fan Theories, the first in a one-part series.